How good to be with you. You know, thanks, Trevor, very much for the opportunity to be here, not only here, but speaking with your regional pastors on Thursday, and with all the regional youth on Friday. So we've had some good times together, and we've had many a good time sharing ministry over many years, but this is my first time ever in Narendra. So it's great to be here at the centre of everything. And to see this wonderful facility, which I've heard so much about. I saw it once from the outside, but there was no one around, and I was on the way through from somewhere to somewhere. But great to be here with you this morning. I want to talk with you a bit this morning about Holy Spirit and just our own walk with Him, and to encourage you towards this. Now, we're going to try and hopefully get our PowerPoint working this morning, so let's see what happens. It's up there. There we go. Now, I've got to keep looking this way because it's not working up there. So if I turn around every now and then, it's not because I've had enough of you. It's because I've got to see that I'm on the right page. I want to talk about divine partnership. And I've headed it up there, empowering your life to live the way God always intended. There's so much more to living with Holy Spirit than we've even begun to understand. And what the walk of God and what the plan of God was for us to live with Him is way beyond what most of us even begin to scratch the surface of. And I want to encourage you this morning, even though some of you have been Christians for longer than I've been alive, and others of you may have been Christians of recent years even, that there's still so much more to discover about our life in the Spirit. And, you know, the more that I go on in my Christian life, the more I realize how much God has yet in store for me, and to discover about what that partnership is. I just want to encourage you this morning, because I see so many in my own congregation and in the churches that I visit. I have a role now that takes me around our states in South Australia, West Australia, Victoria, occasionally, and also up here today and into some of the other states, but particularly in South Australia and Western Australia and the Northern Territory. But as I move amongst the churches, I see so many people who love God like you do, who are enthusiastic in their worship, but in terms of where they are this time last year, then they really haven't progressed a real lot in terms of their own walk with God. And you know, we sometimes compare ourselves to others when we really should compare ourselves to ourselves where we were last year. We look at other people and we think, if we can only be like that, really God has called you in a walk with Him. And, you know, where can you be this time next year? If I was to come back here, what would the church feel like? Where would you be at in your walk with Holy Spirit? Because I just want to encourage you this morning. There is so much more to discover, so much more joy and wonder about walking through life with God. And He had a divine plan to empower our lives and to live in a way that for most of us, we only scratch the surface of. And I'm talking to myself here as well, because I'm just very aware that, you know, I've been privileged to be a pastor for more than 40 years in our movement, but you know, I just every day I get up and I just think again, well, what a wonder it is to live life with You, and how much more is there yet to discover about walking through life with You. And can I again think, I just want to encourage you to get on the journey and to see that the next year will be filled with opportunities to move forward and to grow in Him, to grow in intimacy with Him. Okay, well, let me do my bit today to stir that along in you and to encourage you towards that. I do love giving scriptures to people, and I want to give some. I'm going to give, it's Ed, our bass player, isn't it? Is it Ed? Can I give a word to you to start with, Ed? And as was said, Don will write these verses down. I'm not a walking concordance, so I tend to write scriptures down before the service and on bits of paper that I've gathered but I'm believing that I'm giving them in faith to you right now, that in a way that would just encourage you in your walk with God. It's interesting, in many of the churches I go to, I seem to have words for bass players. It might be because I used to love playing bass myself. But I don't do it very much anymore because there's too many good bass players. But it's good to see, obviously you've been playing bass for a long time, for the best part of your life maybe. But here, you know, I just feel like God wants to challenge you about ongoing directions for your life. It's not that you haven't found direction, and it's not that you are going to necessarily find a whole heap of new directions, but I just think there's a part of the journey of walking with Him that is to become more, in the sense of even what I'm sharing about this morning, to become more intimate, more vital, more engaged, more encouraged. You know, don't just allow it to just stay at the level where you are. And I'm saying that to you, I'm saying it to me, but I'm saying it to all of us as well this morning. I wrote down in my notes last night as I was preparing for this and thinking about words that I might have for people. You know, it's your direction, not your intentions, that set your destination. Can I say that again? It's your direction, not your intentions, that set your destination. How many of you have set out on a trip and you've got all the paths sorted out, got the best intentions in mind, and end up getting somewhere where you didn't plan to be? You know, we've all done it. And I just feel like God wants to say to you, there's a journey that you're on. Keep hearing from Holy Spirit, because you will avoid a few wanderings. And you'll avoid some of the places where all of us have been and can go, which even lead to dead ends. Because it's your destination is determined by your direction, not by your intentions. And the best intentions in the world can sometimes lead us in the wrong paths. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you about direction. And you need to think this through about perhaps some things that you may be facing yourself. Maybe some things that God wants to take you into new explorations and new places, because it's very easy to just start to walk down familiar paths, you know. And you see that the sheep, they invariably walk along the very same track, and they dig a groove into the paddock, you know. And we can do that too very easily in our thinking. We can become just set, you know. We just start following certain pathways, and we miss some of the other things that God would want us to explore and to take us on an adventure with. So it's not that you haven't got direction, and it's not that you're going in the wrong direction necessarily, but there's so much more and fresh directions that God wants to bring to your life. Let me give you some verses that might just encourage you towards this. Isaiah 48 verse 17 says, "I will direct you in the way you should go." Jeremiah 10:23, "It's not for man to direct his own steps." Is this connecting with you? You may be thinking about some things even of recent days and wondering about. And I feel like God wants to say, Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that will prevail." Really important. Dom, if at any point I go too fast or you miss a verse, just go, "Eh, okay?" Because I want you to get the right... he's writing down the scriptures. I hope he's not writing down his own scriptures, okay? So... Well, he can give verses to you. I don't mind that, but I hope he gets them right and we don't end up with something that's not even in the Bible in terms of references, you know. I've done that. How many of you have ever read a chapter, written down a chapter that when you look to it, there's not that many chapters in the book, you know? And in Psalm 20 and verse 24, it says, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord." You know, we're talking this morning about Holy Spirit and His guidance in our lives. And there's a journey that we're all on, every one of us. And God is already out there in front. And He has such wonderful pathways yet, Ed, for you to discover and things to explore that will enlarge and enrich all that is your experience of Him. Psalm 119 and verse 125, it says, "And I am your servant. Now, Lord, give me discernment." Because there are a lot of paths in life. There are a lot of things you can get waylaid on. You know, and I just feel like God wants to say, there's a great path for you and things that are yet to be explored that I've got in store for you. And Proverbs 3:6, it says, "Now commit your ways to the Lord and He will direct your paths," or make your paths even straight. Does that connect with you at all? Because there may be things that you've just been praying about or reflecting on, or there may be even sometimes an agitation in our hearts about just the familiarity of things and thinking there must be something more. And God wants to say, there certainly is. Come on the journey with me and let me show you some fresh paths. Okay? Praise God. Let's just pray for Ed, shall we? Let's raise our hands out towards him, eh? We thank you, Lord, for his bass playing abilities, for the gifts you've given him. But, Lord, I just sense there's so much more you want to lead him into, so many new and fresh paths that you want him to explore. And I just pray, Lord, that he can take the adventure of life and head out, Lord, into not the wrong directions, but those directions that are set by your Holy Spirit that will take him beyond what were his best intentions into those things that are the divine walk with you and where you would want to take him, that will show him fresh pathways and new places to explore, and the adventure of life would grow for him in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's been that agitation in his spirit, let him know, Lord, that it's you calling him, Lord, to go on new pathways that would open up new doors of opportunity for his life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope that encourages them, mate, because, you know, there's, you know, I don't know, I think you've probably been a Christian for a fair while. Am I right in saying that? And there can come a familiarity in our worlds and in our lives that can just cause us to go down the same paths all the time. And I just feel like there's some fresh stuff for you. Okay. Where's our worship leader? Up, right up the back there. Can I give you a word as well? I was enjoying your enthusiastic bouncing around and worshiping God, and just your love for God is very, very, very obvious. But let me just see where I wrote it down here. Just hang on a second. I did write your name down, just a moment. You know, there's a capacity in you to embrace people. And I feel like God wants to just enlarge that ability. And that, and in a sense, it's a vulnerability as well, because the more we expose ourselves to those who need our help and support, the more we actually can be, we can feel like we're being used up sometimes too. But I feel like God wants to use you in a way that will just touch a whole range of new people. And there's a gifting that's in you to make people feel safe, and for you to be able to help people that are troubled and maybe on the periphery and on the edge, to really come into the center where they don't feel alienated anymore. So, you know, I don't know what your ministry is beyond what I've obviously seen here, but I wouldn't be surprised if God gives you an ability to just start to embrace a heck of a lot more, and to bring people into an environment where they're supported and helped. So, I think you're probably a people person, but I think there's a new level of this that God wants to bring. For that to happen, you're going to have to tap into a greater level of God's power, because you can't do this in your own strength, or you'll run out of energy very quickly. And so the verses that I've got for you deal with exploring the experience of God more intimately, so that you can, in fact, give out of the abundance of your heart rather than feeling like you're just being drained all the time by all these needy people. You know, because the more you give out, you actually can only give out of what you've actually put in. And so there's the great challenge for you to just deepen your own walk with God, and not just relying on what you've been and what you've done before and those things that have been, but those things that would refresh and renew you, so that out of the abundance of your own life, you'll be able to embrace a lot more people. Okay. Luke 24 and verse 49, it says, that you might become clothed with power from on high. There's a new garment of power that God wants to place upon your life that just takes you to a new level of engagement with the people around about you. Not just based upon the warmth of your personality and character, but something much more profound, clothed with power from on high. and almost the cry of some of the songs that you led today, and your deep desire to want to see more of the presence and power of God, is something I know is deep in your heart, and God wants to honor that and say, let's go deeper with him and see what happens. Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. There's a new clothing of power for you that I'm just encouraging you to step into. 2 Corinthians 4:17 talks about the fact that the all-surpassing power will be of God and not of us. So, you know, not more of you, less of you, more of him. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, it says, when I am weak, then in fact I can be strong. So, you know, these verses are emphasizing again and again, stepping into greater sense of his enabling and empowerment. And John 15 and verse 5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Hebrews 13 and verse 21, and he will equip you with every good work. He will equip you. And 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, the woman of God, so that the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. And I just sense there's an equipping that's coming upon you to embrace more and to experience more and to become a place where people who would normally drain you and you feel like overwhelmed by it, you'll actually be able to encompass more of that. Does that connect with you at all? Yeah. What was your name again? Tony? Lord, we just pray for Tony as well, Father. The capacity for her to embrace people. Lord, I just thank you that she is, by her own nature, probably outgoing and seems bubbly. Certainly the way she leads worship is. But Lord, I know that in that sense we can very easily become drained by people because we feel like we're giving out of the resource of self. But I feel like, God, you want to lift her to a new level of empowerment that would open up new doors of intimacy with you, that would allow her to minister and embrace people, not in her own strength, but in the strength of the Spirit that's within her. Rise up, Holy Spirit. Empower her life even more and let her, Lord, find fresh reservoirs of your power flowing through her life, new resource, new abilities that will impact this community, impact this church community, Lord, in a way that just causes people to see that she's moved on to the next level of walking with you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I hope it encourages you. Good on you. One other just before I start really getting into preaching a bit, or trying, sorry. This lady here, can I give a word to you? What's your name? Alice? Allison, sorry. A bit of echo in the room. Allison. You know, sometimes it's not always comfortable losing things. And I just think sometimes, you know, we want to hang on to the things we've got. But I just feel like the word is God saying, you need to be emptied so that I can fill you. Because a filled vessel can't be filled. And you can fill your life with a whole heap of things that you've been used to doing and that are predictable and that have been part of your world and life. And sometimes we find it very hard to let go of those things that have become part of us. But I feel like God wants to say, There's some things that you need to let go of so that I can actually have some space to fill you with the things that I now want to give you for the next season of what lies ahead. Does that connect with you? And you may have been struggling with some of these things already, and I just feel like Holy Spirit wants to encourage you towards this. Philippians 2:7 gives the example of Jesus. He emptied himself completely of his divinity in that sense of being God and God, and he says in Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself and became obedient as a servant. You know, if Christ gives us the example of actually being emptied so that he could be filled with Holy Spirit and function at a level that, you know, we only begin to understand a little bit of, but there's so much more. In 2 Kings in verse 4, the chapter there is where Elisha is with the widow who hasn't got enough enough resource and is running out, got only a little bit of oil left. He says, go around and get all the jars from everywhere. Remember the story? And I will fill them. And miraculously, everything gets filled. And when all the jars are filled, suddenly the supply runs out. And I feel like God wants to say to you, there are empty jars that you need to gather. Create space, in a sense, for God to fill and provide the miracle of provision into your world. And there's going to be more than enough resource for what you need to do and what the future is going to hold. In Proverbs 3 in verse 10, it says, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will bust with new wine. So there's a sense of what God is going to do in the times ahead that's going to open opportunities for you. But emptied first. Matthew 9:17 says that for new wine to be placed and given, it needs to be placed in new wineskins. And if you put it into the old, it actually will burst it. And so there's a sense of new environments and new capacities that God wants to bring for what he is to encompass. Finally, in John 15:5, it says, even the fruitful branches are sometimes pruned for even greater fruitfulness. You know, and so there may be some things that you've been doing, and you think, I can't let go of that. It's been really good, and it's look. But it's almost like be ready to prune even those things that are fruitful, because the objective is for greater fruitfulness. So emptying, so that in fact you create space to be filled. Does that connect with you, Alison? Wasn't it? Father, we just pray for Alison as well, that she would embark on a wonderful journey that takes her into new arenas of fruitfulness and effectiveness, in Jesus' name. Empty to be filled. Lord, we don't like, in a sense, feeling empty, but it's empty to be filled. And so, Lord, like even in that story of Elisha and the overflow of jars filled with oil, may there be an abundance of provision that flows into, Lord, that which has been, in a sense, emptied for your infilling, in Jesus' name. God bless you, Alison. Okay, let's share a little bit up here and see if this works. Here we go. You know, the disciples had really put all their hopes in the person of Jesus. When he came amongst them, they finally saw the Messiah they'd been longing for. And in the flesh, there was their Messiah. And then he tells them the words, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave you. And they said, you can't leave us. And as I put up there, please don't leave me. And I think the passage here says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come back to you. Before long, the world will not see you anymore. But on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. They didn't get it at the start. How could you go, Jesus? But you see, when Jesus was with them, he was limited. And as I said to you before, he emptied himself of his, in a sense, his divinity. Why? To take upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself human form. And like us as humans, he could only ever be in one place at the one time. He was limited. He limited his divinity to the spot where he was. And he couldn't be like he is in the Holy Spirit, everywhere, all the place, all at once, because he was here on earth in the form of a human being. But he says, I'm going to my Father so that I can come back to you and I'll no longer be with you, but I'll be what? In you. This is a mystery, and the Apostle Paul called it the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery that all of Jesus could be in you, and yet all of Jesus can be in me. How much of Christ have you got in you? Huh? A fraction? No, you actually have all of Christ in you. The challenge for us is to open up to all that is the resource of God in us. I see so many Christians that run from one place to the next trying to get topped up by the resource of what they sense is where the anointing of God is. When the scriptures say very clearly that you have an anointing and it is in you. It abides in you. And the challenge isn't so much for most of us to top up as it is to open up. The Apostle Paul talked about a treasure that's in this earthen vessel. This amazing resource that is all of Christ in me, the hope of glory. That Jesus came and dwelt in me and is in me right now. A treasure hidden inside of me and in you. And the more Christians that are created in the world doesn't mean we share the resource more and more and we all get a diminished return of Jesus. No, the mystery is that all of Christ can be in you, Trevor, and all of Christ can be in me. It's amazing capacity. And God gave it to you and me. And on the day of Pentecost, he told his disciples, I want you to tarry and wait in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. Wait. Don't take off trying to make it all happen in your own strength. And this morning I would say to you as well, tarry, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. You can't build the church without his presence and power. Luke 24:49, but tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. I love the word tarry. It speaks of the atmosphere of anticipation, of eager waiting for God. And here this morning, we're all here because we're, in a sense, tarrying in this place to receive more of God. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit would just come upon each of us afresh and give us a greater dimension of what life in the Spirit can look like and feel like. I grew up and great to see you, Mrs. Vlanderen, here, isn't it? Is that it? Joan? Yeah, lovely to see. I haven't seen you for forever. I haven't seen you for a long time. I remember your son Martin well, and we grew up in a youth group together way back in Sturt Street days. In that church in Sturt Street, they had a room up the back. And you used to go up a flight of stairs into it. And it was the room where people would go to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it literally became an upper room. It became a place where hundreds, if not thousands of people over the years were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they would go there and they'd cry out to God and they'd tarry and wait until they received power from on high. I grew up in an atmosphere in my own family where my parents came to the Lord when I was just in my late years of primary school. I was probably about 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that. And my earliest memories is of a spirit of revival. I can remember being taken to these meetings, prayer meetings, that would go on forever. And I'd fall asleep under the pews, you know, and in lounge rooms under the dining room tables as my parents would fervently be crying out together with their friends for power from on high. There was a hunger in those early days of Pentecost and there was an atmosphere where they would push through until they got it. And some would get it quickly and some would take for a long, long time, but they'd tarry and they'd wait. They were pressing into God and those prayer closets were very real. And it displayed some really good attributes, but it also displayed a few not so good attributes. Let's see if we can move along here. There we go. The upside of tarrying is that, I'm having problems with this machine today. There we go. The upside is this: it displayed an insatiable desire for more of God. I'll not let you go until you bless me, was the cry, that so many had in those days. There was tenacity to their believing and a doggedness in pursuing God. They went on a love hunt for him. They played hide and seek, as it were, with God. And they tried to find him where he might be hiding, and they just went on after him until they found him. If you have faith and do not doubt, if you seek me, you shall find me. Those verses are verses of faith that say, keep pressing through into God. And what I saw in those early years and what so shaped my own, I guess, spiritual nature was that there is something to chase after, something to go for, to believe for. And here this morning, are we just statically watching, or are we ready to, are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are we eager for more of God? Are we aware there is so much more yet for us? There was also deep self-examination that happened and a pursuit of holiness that happened in that tarrying environment as people tried to, in a sense, make sure that there was nothing in the way of them receiving all that God had for them. The Holy Spirit was the Spirit of truth. And Paul said, I count everything as loss so that I can have that one thing which is Christ. And I put to death the works of the flesh. This morning we pursue after the things of God. We chase after what He has for us. Let's see if we can move along here again. I might have to get you. Was that you moving that? Or was that me? Huh? That was you. Okay. The downside of tarrying, and I'll get you, I might just point to you like this and you can move it along. Okay? The downside of tarrying was the feelings of inadequacy that often came when you didn't get it. And people would be up in that upper room and under those in those prayer meetings praying for weeks sometimes, week after week, and in the whole process feeling like, well, there must be something wrong with me. I'm obviously not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. Or they might have ended up with this sense where I've got to deal with every hidden sin that's in my life before I can receive from God. And pursuing this ascetic act of trying to self-purge themselves, to make themselves somehow good enough to receive from God. Or people end up with theologies that say, well, it was obviously for then, but it's no longer for today. This is not for now. All sorts of ways that people went through tarrying, and it became actually a negative thing and a blockage. And there were a lot of people who never received all that was the Holy Spirit because of all of some of those reasons. This morning, maybe you're in this same place where you've allowed yourself to just become, you're stuck in your relationship with God. You want more, but somehow you may be filled with feelings of inadequacy. You may, in fact, be thinking, well, it's obviously because there's something deeply in my life I haven't sorted out yet, and there's this purging of your soul. Now, it's not wrong to deal with things that are wrong in our lives, but it is wrong to think that those are the things that God needs us somehow to be perfect before we're good enough. If that was the case, none of us would ever be good enough. God accepts us in spite of our sin, in spite of our failings, in spite of our inadequacies. And let me assure you that what I'm preaching about here this morning is that this hasn't ceased back in the days of the apostles. It's as real today as it was then. And it's continued to be the power and the generator of power for the church. And for the future of this congregation here in Narandra, it's not going to come from the wonderful facility you've got. It's not going to come from the programs that you run. It's going to come from the presence, the reality of the Holy Spirit and His presence here in this place. As I've given some specific words to some of you, and I'll give some more as we go along, God wants to take us on an adventure that moves us forward. Let's move on on the slides as well. So we can be connected to God either in experience or in theory. A lot of people have the theory of God all down, Pat, but there's also that which is to be experienced. I'll put up their PDAs and the interplay of emotion and spirit. You know what PDAs are? It's public displays of affection. How many of you struggle with that? Public displays of affection. Yeah, you know, we can't do it. You know, my associate pastor, when he first came to our church, he used to struggle with any sense of a man hug, you know. He's softened up and loosened up a bit now. But, you know, in our culture as a whole, we tend to, you know, a handshake may be as close as we get. And in our relationship with God, we tend to also struggle sometimes with getting too intimate and close. And we keep God away and we don't really want public displays of affection. That's why some people struggle with Pentecostal churches, where you raise your hands and you actually get a little bit emotional about it all. There's a great interplay, though, between the emotion and the spirit. God made it that way. We should be emotional in our worship of God, and we should let our guard down in that sense to be responsive to Him. And that's why we clap, and that's why we dance, and that's why we lift our hands, and that's why we praise God demonstratively, because it should be part of the deal. And the more you can let yourself go in that, appropriately, I'm not talking about turning into some sort of, you know, weirdo, but in a way that, you know, when you go to the footy, people show lots of passion and emotion, don't they? When you watch them, you know, they get pretty wired up for what's going on. And in church, that's what it should be. It should be an engagement of the Spirit. And God so longs for us to come on a journey. But because we struggle with public displays of affection, we just sort of, we keep God at an arm's length from us. And He's saying to you this morning, come in close. Let me give you a God hug. And let's see what it could be, look like, and could feel like if you really just open yourself up more to God. Okay, moving along. So we need to experience God. And as I've put up there, beyond just intellectually, in John 4:24, it says we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the Passion Bible, it says there, God is sheer being itself, spirit, and those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves. This is a famous picture in the Sistine Chapel, and it was drawn by Michelangelo. Some of you may have had the privilege of actually seeing it actually there, but it's a very familiar picture showing the creation of Adam and God reaching out His finger to touch him and him becoming a living being. But somehow in our mindset, that's the view we have of God, that occasionally He might reach out and we can just touch the tip of His finger. I wished Michelangelo, in a sense, had drawn it with God alongside Adam and giving him a man hug or a God hug. You know, just enveloping him with His love, because it says that the Holy Spirit came upon the form of Adam and breathed in the breath of life. And I think He did it up close rather than at a distance with just a finger point. And in our minds, so oftentimes we keep God at arm's length, at distance, and we occasionally touch His presence when He says, I'm there with you to walk in divine partnership. Moving along. Jesus knew no divided world. It says, I always do what pleases Him. For Jesus, He walked in partnership with His Spirit. And you say, well, that's easy. He was God. Well, yeah, but He was in human form. And He too had to make decisions to connect with the Holy Spirit as you and I do. Moving along. In John 14:26, it says these words. Can we read it? But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard Me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Jesus is here talking about His Spirit coming into them as believers and what it's going to be able to do and what it will feel like. Firstly, in the things I've put in italics up there, He's an advocate. He stands in the gap for us. He defends our cause. He teaches us. He brings peace to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He comforts us. He supports us. Don't be afraid. He breaks us loose of the fears and inhibitions that we have. He's coming back to us to be our partner. Let's move along a bit this morning. The next passage, it says it even clearer in the Amplified Bible. It pulls out what the comfort of the Holy Spirit is about. And in the bits that are in italic there, it says he's the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby. Moving along. So we're called into divine partnership. And a key scripture that I want to give to you and a picture I want to give to you is this one this morning. Now, I wonder, would you like to come up here with me? Dom? I'll use you to illustrate this. Could you tie our legs together like the picture is up there? Just a three-legged. How many of you can remember those awful races at high school, or primary school rather, of a three-legged race? One of the most dangerous races you could ever do. So just be careful here, Dom, all right?
Do my best.
All right. This is what partnership should look like, okay? Linked to Holy Spirit. The verse, can you put the verse up there? That's up there. I think it says Galatians, is it? Galatians 5:25. If you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in sync with Him. All right, Dom, you're Holy Spirit, so I'm going to have to follow you, okay? All right? Lead off with the linked leg and let's go for it,
one,
all right?
Two, three.
No, you just got to keep going, Holy Spirit. That's it.
You got to follow,
okay.
Holy Spirit.
All right. Let's turn around. Otherwise, we'll walk out the door, and we don't. Okay, we're doing that. That's not bad. We've got.
And here we go.
One. Way. Now, let's go a little bit faster.
One, two, three. All right.
Now what's the problem? If he wants to lead me forward and I don't go with him, what happens? I'll quickly stumble. Or if I try to go ahead of him, what's going to happen? I'm going to stumble. Stumble. Well, I say strumble, didn't I? I'm going to fall over. You know, so walking with the Holy Spirit is what we're called to do, and this is the picture that God intended, not of an occasional touch, but of one where He embraces us and He says, come on, let's go on an adventure of life together and let's step out. You ready?
One, two, three.
Okay, and we keep walking. And you know, the more that we walk together, the more I don't have to even think about it, but it can just become an automatic thing. Because we've learnt to walk as one. Okay, and off we go again. Here we go. I haven't even fallen over. We could have a big future in this, Dom. We could enter a race and who knows what might happen.
Professional circuit.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you. But let me just... No, don't go yet, Holy Spirit. Because there's a couple of things I'm burdened by, okay? Let's go through this. And if you can click this through for me, that would be very helpful. Okay, let's take the first word that was up there. Insecurities that you might hold. I was sharing with the youth group on Friday night over at Griffith. You know, I said, you know, I struggled as a young guy growing up with a whole heap of complexities and things that were in my world that were a result of things that I was given. A name that was pretty unusual. In post-war, immediately, I was raised, born 1953, 10 years after the World War II ended, to have a name like Hans was not very popular when all the German Nazi stuff used those names that were Germanic in source. I mean, my background was Dutch, but nonetheless, they didn't know that. I struggled even with my name. You might struggle with things in your world, insecurities that were there. The Bible is full of stories of people with insecurities. Gideon, Was he secure? I'm the least tribe, the least important in my family. I'm nothing, I'm no good. What about King David? Where did he start off? As the one who was at the back when everybody else was being anointed and looked for to be the next king, he wasn't even considered by his dad. He was out looking after the sheep. Insignificant people. What about Moses? Felt like he was nobody, living out the backside of the desert looking after his father-in-law's sheep. Till the burning bush calls him and challenges him about who he really is. And he still doesn't get the picture. The Bible is full of people who live within their insecurities. But if I'm linked to Holy Spirit, I can take those insecurities and I give them over to him. You take them. There you go. Now, they're not with me, but what happens? I become empowered by his Spirit as he takes my insecurities and he makes them his, not mine. Let's try the next one. Circumstances. Stuff happens in our world, doesn't it? There's heaps of things that you may or may not have control over, or may not even be your fault. Give them over to Holy Spirit. Dealing with a guy at the moment in our church, his marriage has fallen apart. Terrible circumstance. I say, I keep trying to tell him, you don't have to live in that circumstance. You can give it over to Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He becomes the counselor, the one who gives us the wisdom to negotiate even some really deep and troubled waters. Or maybe it's tragedies that have happened in your world and life. As Pastor Trevor said, we've been to Sri Lanka. There's a nation that's gone through incredible tragedies. The civil war that went on for all those 20 plus years has left most families in the regions that we've worked decimated, with at least some stories of people that they've lost through the war. Awful pain. Then on top of that, in some of the worst hit regions of the war, they had a tsunami back in 2002 that wiped out tens of thousands of people. And there are families that I've dealt with there who lost people in the war and who lost people in the tsunami, and you just go, wow, what tragedy. And then earlier this year, in the church where we've often run schools together, it was bombed. And one family that I know there, the associate pastor's family, the associate pastor got killed and his daughter got killed. And it was a family that's now left a wife whose extended family got lost, many of them through the tsunami. And other members of family were taken through the war. And you think, how much tragedy in just one household. But you can take those tragedies and you can give them over to Holy Spirit because you're in partnership with him and you don't have to carry those things yourself because he's the great comforter. That's the deal we've got this morning. That's what we can do. We don't have to do it in our own strength anymore. Maybe you stand accused this morning. You know, I think of something that I've been grappling with in our extended family, where there's been family accusations, where there's been things thrown out that are unfair and don't seem right at all. And we can't, but you can't prove it, you can't deal with it. It's just accusations. Maybe you're suffering with that this morning. Someone's accused you of something. What do you do with it? It's not mine. Holy Spirit, I give it to you. Take it. And he's our great advocate. He stands in there. Our church is filled with people who are struggling with all sorts of addictions. All sorts of stuff that, you know, has held them back. Think of a guy who was struggling with pornography. No one else knew about it, but he did. It was crippling his life. There are people who've been on various forms of drug use and abuse. You know, now, whatever the addictions are, let's take them, give them to the Holy Spirit. It's not ours, it's his. And suddenly, he's the great standby. He's the great one who empowers us from within. He's the one who lifts us out of the miry clay into a wondrous place of being free and released. That's been the experience of mine in the church that I'm leading, to see countless people break free of addictions as the great standby, the Holy Spirit, lifts them out of the circumstance they're in. Now, I think we might, for the sake of the end of the service, have to become separated. Let's put our hands together for Dom. He's a good brother. All right, our time's getting away, so I better just call this to a conclusion. What I'm trying to get across with that illustration is the dynamic partnership that you're called to walk with Holy Spirit. And what could life look like if you just open up to Him more? We're going to take communion now together, and I wonder if the music team, you guys come up for true communion. Is that appropriate? Now, I want to give a few more words to people, and we haven't got time to do it right now because we ran out of time, but I'd love to give a word to you as a couple. Could you come at the front at the end of the service, perhaps? I don't know how long the communion time's going. Well, you guys, and this guy here, I think I've got a word for as well. Let me just see who else I wrote down. I'm going to give a word to Sandra too, but I'll do that afterwards as well, I think. I'll let you play the piano. Maybe you're here this morning and you've come to church really thinking, God, I really need a word from you, and I haven't pointed you out. Or maybe one of the words that I gave to somebody else, you thought, boy, I wish he'd given that to me. Well, guess what? It's the word of God. Go up to that person and say, can I have a copy of those verses? Or come out the front at the end as we close off. And I'd love to pray with those that I've singled out already and any others that really want prayer and want some input into their world, because I feel there's some others that God was speaking to this morning. This man here with the checkered shirt, could you come at the front as well afterwards? I'd love to give a word to you, all right, just to encourage you. It's time to take communion. I'll pass over to Pastor so that he can finish off the service and lead us through this, and then I'll pray with those people that I've indicated and any others that want prayer as we close. God bless you.